NFL history, still holds records as a punt and kick returner, played in 5 Super Bowls. He's wearing one of his Super Bowl rings. I think he's going to give one of those away today as well. Won 2 Super Bowls, was a 6-time Pro Bowl starter, was named first team All-NFL 4 years in a row, named to the All-Decade Team of the 1970s, is a member of the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor, NAIA Hall of Fame, and the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. Sports Illustrated named him the greatest free safety in the history of the NFL. Dallas Cowboy fans, welcome the great Cliff Harris. Cliff.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Thank you very much. I thought we were, this looks like we'd be in Dallas to get that kind of applause. Thank you very much. We are in Dallas. Yeah, this ring is going to be auctioned off at the end or given away. I'm going to use the same hat that Mark did. Thank you, Mark, for having me up here. And I thought we talked about getting that piece out where Jack Lambert threw me down. Every year I get my buddies, they all call me and say, hey, I saw you on TV at Super Bowl time. I say, what happened? Jack Lambert threw you down. Happens every year the same way. I try to my best to, thank goodness for Jethro Pugh, because I don't know if you saw that. He was really holding me back or Lambert would have been in trouble, I can tell you. I was about to get into him. And Mark tried to get me when we were in Gainesville up there to visit one time, and I don't know if he got fired or what, but so we get to talk today, and I went by his office, and holy cow, I'm going to have to leave out a third of my speech because it was all how bad the Steelers were and what I thought about Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw gave me this great book worth thousands of dollars, so I don't know where I'm going to go from there. It is great to be here today. I'm honored to be here, and I really appreciate you asking me to come here today. I was a little concerned. It's been a while since I played. I did see someone come walking up to me in the beginning. I said, well, maybe this, it looked like he recognized me, and came up and said, weren't you Cliff Harris? I said, yes, I was. So I'm really glad to be here today, but everybody, I'm not kidding, I don't care if they're 95 years old, every one of them says, man, I was a kid when you were playing. I'm starting to believe it, because I've had people come up and from the kind of a sequential thing of, man, I'm a big fan of yours. Man, my dad was a big fan of yours. Now it's, hey, my grandfather is a big fan of yours. So I know what it is to be around for a while, and what a great deal and what a great privilege it was for me to play in the Astrodome. I mean, I had a chance to play there when it was relatively new. I mean, think about the significance. I think that we called it down here the 8th wonder of the world or something, and it was really, when I was in there, of course, I was from Washington Baptist. I never had any idea about AstroTurf. I did have a chance to run into Earl Campbell a few times. I was still picking AstroTurf out of my back and my knees. What a great team they had about that time with Dan Pastorini, I remember, and Burroughs, some of you guys might remember, the wide receiver, really fast, and thank goodness you could knock him out. But then they had Billy White Shoes Johnson. Do you remember Billy White Shoes Johnson? Imagine today, I mean, what that meant, if you'll think about that, Billy White Shoes Johnson meant he was wearing white shoes, which meant the rest of the NFL was wearing black shoes. He was a rebellious guy wearing white shoes. That's why he was called White Shoes Johnson. I remember that was kind of my welcome to the NFL. He was so fast. I was good. When a receiver ran a down and in, he was mine. I can tell you, he was mine. He was out of the game, and Billy White Shoes Johnson ran a down and in me. I said, man, you're mine. And I looked up, and he was gone. I said, where'd he go? There's a picture that I've got him. I'm dragging him down from behind. So it was really something. And then you think about all the stadiums that are now let you know you've been around for a while, how many of these stadiums that are torn down? I mean, you look today and you see, I mean, of all things, Texas Stadium, where I played, where I, you know, my DNA scraped out on the AstroTurf there is still in the floor. I mean, I drive by that place. It's like, oh my gosh, that's where I spent my life. You know, there it's torn down. I mean, then they've torn down Bush Stadium and RFK and all these others. But you think, goodness gracious, how much money does a guy want to make to tear down Yankee Stadium? I mean, oh my gosh, I had a chance to play there and it was really something. But I mean, and then today, I don't know if you've been to the Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, but it is unbelievable. I mean, it's some place that you just need to see. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's giant screams. There's girls dancing on poles. There's cheerleaders. And then they've got a football game going on at the same time. Imagine that. You know, you can see that from the big screen, you know. So you get up there and watch. You can see the guy sweat. And you can see Tony Romo straighten his jersey up before he goes up and talks to the officials about a pass interference call or something. A lot of passion there. Sorry. That was I didn't mean to say that. And then, you know, back in that time, and you're going to let me know on time too, right? Back in that era, it was really a unique time. And it was such a great time for the fans. And the reason I say that is because they kept teams together. You know, the teams weren't, guys weren't traded off. And free agents come in, you wouldn't know what the players were from other teams. I mean, good gosh, do you think that we would have had Terrell Owens over there for longer than a week? Are you kidding me? But so you had a chance then to watch and develop relationships with the players at that time, because when we were there, we had no free agency. We didn't make any money. But you had a chance to develop fans and friends and watch these guys year after year. And not only that, you had a chance to watch their opponents and hate them, you know, not – you didn't like the Steelers, did you, Mark? Okay, all right. I'm glad to hear that. So, but I'm going to talk today a little bit about that journey, if you will, and take you back a few years and the journey of both time and football and faith, and talk about a little bit of where I am and what I think about it. And, you know, one of the things we'll kind of roundabout way talk about how the Cowboys became America's team, why I think that happened, and how we were fortunate enough to play in those five Super Bowls in 10-year period. But before we do this, I'm going to have to take you way back so that, you know, people have a tendency, I think, sometimes to think that, you know, pro athletes, right, with our 295-pound linebacker over there, which is, he'd be a lightweight today, right? Or you, what were you, 275 at the time, or 285? My gosh, boy, that was, but take it for granted that you know, were always a, you know, top performer and a great player, and you just kind of moved into the pro ranks. And that was far from what happened with me. When I grew up in Hot Springs, Arkansas, I was a skinny kid, kind of slow, and the coaches told me, you know, Cliff, I think that you need to maybe think about concentrating on your studies and quit football. I didn't do that. I said, no, I'm going to stay with football. And I was going to be a doctor, actually. That was my plan. A buddy of mine and I were both thinking about becoming doctors, and he's a doctor today. I got sidetracked. On that team, they would not have voted me to be the player that you would expect to play pro football on that team, needless to say. But God has a funny way of working in your lives, and my father was transferred my senior year in high school to a small town. We talked earlier about that, and from Hot Springs, which is a big city relatively, to a little town called Des Arc, Arkansas, in the Mississippi Delta. And I was given the option of staying in Hot Springs or going to my parents, and I went with them, and I was a quarterback, and I quarterbacked an undefeated team. And my dad, who was a fighter pilot in World War II, shot down in the South China Sea on a raft for 2 days, survived to, or I wouldn't be here, and played football also at Ouachita. And the head coach there was having coffee one morning with the owner of the sporting goods store. And that happened to be my father's roommate, Red Nelson was his name. And they said, you know, Buddy Harris has got a son that's playing quarterback at Desark, and I think he's a pretty good player. Why don't you give him a scholarship? And he said, okay. So that's the way my football career started. And so I had 4 great years at Ouachita. And how many of you have heard or have relatives or something related to Ouachita? Look at there. That's awesome to know. That's good to know. Howard Cosell called it Ouachita and other things. And Don Merrith corrected him, you know, because he knew where Ouachita Baptist was. But I spent 4 great years there, and actually my junior year, we played in Dothan, Alabama, the Peanut Bowl, and we were given a bag of peanuts for winning the game, and then 2 years later, I was playing in the Super Bowl, and we lost that Super Bowl, then we won the Super Bowl the next year, so I got a Super Bowl ring instead of a bag of peanuts, which was kind of transition because it said Harris goes from the Peanut Bowl to the Super Bowl. It's a long distance run. But my my career, it really started. I was signed as a free agent from Ouachita. And at that time, we were also discussing this earlier, and there were there were 120 other free agents or 120 other rookies, some of them drafted, to go to an incredible place, Thousand Oaks, California, which is over the mountain from Malibu Beach. And we used to say when we were in our fifth or sixth week in training camp, another beautiful day in California. There never rains here, so there's great. So we worked out really hard every day. Well, the first, and we played a lot of rookie games and did a lot of things. I was fortunate enough to have made the starting lineup of the first preseason game. We played against San Diego Chargers, and I'll never forget that. And walking out, you know, I was playing at Ouachita, and I'd never been to a pro football game before in Arkansas. So I walk out, and, you know, you can imagine this kid from Arkadelphia or from Hot Springs looking around at the stadium going, oh, my gosh, multicolored stadium, really cool. And so I was so psyched up. I was playing corner at the time, and Coach Landry, before the game, I was saying, man, I know Coach Landry is going to give the best pregame speech, because I know Coach Benson, Buddy Bob Benson, of my coach at Ouachita, man, he got us so fired up, and we were like, nah, I just couldn't wait to go out on the field. And so here we go for the first preseason game and Coach Landry's pregame speech before that. And I got on the front row, I was dressed, I was ready to go, and guys started filtering in, and Coach Landry walked in and walked up to the podium and said, you've studied your scouting reports, you've analyzed your game films, we know our offensive and defensive schemes, now let's go out and execute. And he walked off the field. You know, and I was like, oh my gosh, I am left there. I said, it's going to have to be up to me. And I said, oh my gosh. But needless to say, years later, well, no, let me digress a little bit more. So it ends up, we play the preseason. I'm in and out trying to make the team. One of the most incredible moments of my career was sitting in the locker room, another one of those things that hadn't been knocked out through concussions. If you guys remember that NFL study going on, was Coach Landry, when he announced the starting lineup, after we had 120 rookies that year that were trying out. We had 45 veterans that had come back, and so that meant they had to cut 120 guys, some veterans and some mostly rookies. We didn't know who was going to be cut, and Coach Landry came in and announced that me at the starting my rookie year, the only rookie to make the starting lineup, announced me to as the starting free safety for the Cowboys. Well, it was really good for me, which meant at least I made the team. You know, I mean, when you make the starting lineup, you're going to make the team. I was really just kind of hoping to be on the team, and he announced me as the starting free safety. So we were going to play the New York Giants. We're going to play them in the Cotton Bowl. And I'd been going down on kickoffs, so it was game day. I'd been going down on kickoffs and in and out of the game because of competition during preseason. You come in, you'd play something, go out, and you'd go back and forth and go in and out. And I was the free safety. And so I go down on the kickoff and of the first game, and I go down the field, and I can say because nobody here can argue with me, make the tackle on the kickoff. And I run off of the field, and I'm standing beside Coach Landry on the field. Well, the Giants are huddled up out there. The Dallas defense is huddled up out there. And the Dallas defense is huddled up, and I'm standing next to Coach Landry. And Coach Landry, you can imagine this, because this is what Coach Landry looks over at me and says, "Cliff, are you going to go in?" I said, "Oh, gosh." So I ran as fast as I could, because I'll never forget where they were on the field and everything. I ran in, I busted into the huddle, and I got the look. And here I was, could you imagine, as a kid from Wichita Baptist, I busted in the huddle, and there was Leroy Jordan, Bob Lilly, Mel Renfro, Cornell Green, all these, Herb Adderley, all these stars in the NFL. I felt like going, you know, maybe this may be the last time. I said, I'd like to just pass around a card and get some autographs from you guys, you know. And this is where... So I'm standing in the huddle. I mean, and we were all on our position, you know, our typical, all you guys probably all play football, and right directly across from me, just by the alignment of the huddle, was Bob Lilly looking me eye to eye. And Bob Lilly looked over at me, and I promise you he said this, looked over at me, and this was a team that was next year's champion, you know, couldn't win the big one. Bob Lilly looked over at me and said, "Rookie, we're going to the Super Bowl this year, and I don't want you to do anything that'll, let's say, mess it up." He said, "You got it?" I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Lilly." And I mean, in that, you know, that spoke, that really spoke volumes about to me and hit me, huh? So we ended up going to the Super Bowl that year. We lost to Baltimore. He didn't say we had to win. So we ended up going back the next year and beating the Dolphins in the first Super Bowl the Cowboys won. Well, you know, how we doing? Okay. Oh gosh. Let me speed through this then. But that was told about a lot about leadership and character, and because there were great characters on that team, great leadership on that team, great coaches on that team, Tom Landry and Gene Stallings, men of faith, Christian men, definitely had an impact on my life. And I can tell you the thing that stands out in my heart today is the. Is a verse from Psalms that really tells you where we are, where I am, and what I've thought for a long time. And it was like that Roman leader driving into the Roman Colosseum, and all the people, throngs of people throwing flowers down on him and everything. There was a little monkey on his shoulder and whispering in his ear. It was a great painting. It said, "Fame is fleeting." And so it says this too, as a verse from the Psalms. It says, "As for man, his days in life are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, and for the wind passes over it, and then is gone, and in its place remembers no more. But the Lord is forever." And that's kind of the mentality. You know, I mean, these Super Bowl rings, I mean, when I start talking about, you know, I mean, my name was in the Ring of Honor up in Texas Stadium in Irving. Well, guess what? It is torn down and gone because I was in the Ring of Honor. Well, it's back up in the new Cowboys Stadium. Paid a big price for it. No. But it will someday be gone too. So I know that, I know in my heart that, and don't take it all so seriously about all these things that happen. And I really try to do one thing, and God really worked in my life in one other way, and because I left out a lot of the things I'd like to have said to you. But I got a call one time from one of the coaches. Said, "Cliff, we want you to come to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and play in Tom Landry's FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, golf tournament." And I said, play in Coach Landry's golf tournament? Now, he could have a golf tournament anywhere in the United States and raise money for him. He picked Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I said, it's Jim Myers. I said, "Coach, that's my hometown. Of course I'll come up there. And of course I'll come up there and support that, and I'll be up there with you." So I went up there, and I brought Charlie Waters up there. You guys remember him? He was my backup. Don't tell him I said that. But you know, we lost Coach Landry. And then now I host that golf tournament. It's turned into one of the largest FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, tournaments in the state of Arkansas. And a lot of kids coming to Christ for that. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that I'm so privileged to have my name associated with something. Coach Landry, such a great man. His priorities, he told us during football, God, family, and football were his priorities. A lot of the guys kind of got a chuckle, said, "We're not going to win any games." But all those guys today, Mike Ditka, Dan Reeves, Gene Stallings, all those coaches, Super Bowl coaches, were under him, and they've taken that on. But you think about what happens in life is that if you can influence someone, particularly a young child's life, because the coaches are what these young people look up to, is that, and listen to, and can change their lives. These coaches with the FCA that are part of the FCA bring these young people in and really change their lives. And they change their lives forever, but that's a multiplying effect. These Super Bowl rings come and go. They're the names and the honor, but something like that changes young people's lives forever. I'm so grateful for being able to part of that, because I believe that that every one of us out here can do something as simple as that. Because I think that one of the things that I try to do is, because I'm around, and you all are too, people that want to have faith and want to know somebody else is going to have faith. And you know, this is what Coach Landry did so well. He summarized a complex situation, what it made us win, and summarized it and said, "Look, there's three priorities we need to do this week. One, you know, knock out Terry Bradshaw. Two, stop Franco Harris. And three, Swan." We didn't have them in the right order. But the simple thing to do is that what I do when I'm talking to somebody that is strong, I say, "Look, man, you know, if he's having a trouble, they want to be able to say, 'Look, I said a prayer for you last night.'" I mean, I'm not one of those ones that wear it on my sleeve and I say, "I said a prayer for you last night." That speaks volumes to these people. That let them know that you're a person of faith, you're going to tell them about it, and at the same time, they're in your heart. And so it'll change their lives and attitudes from then on with you. And it's something simple to do. So that's what I'm saying, and I hope that today that you'll take that simple approach in a winning way. And I really appreciate your time. You're very gracious to have me up here, and I guess, and God bless you all. I guess it's now a time for questions.
Sure, and we have 3 minutes or so.
Thank you very much.
Let's stay here. All right, let me ask you if you have a question that you'd like to ask Cliff Harris. All right, we'll start right over here. Start over, and I'm going to repeat it to make sure everyone hears you. Speak up if you can.
Oh, gosh.
To make sure y'all heard that, he said, Bob Lilly said that Cliff Harris was the meanest, baddest guy on the Dallas Cowboys.
Don't tell Leroy Jordan I said that. They said that. I think he was. You know those linebackers, don't you? You know?
All right. Dennis?
You know, Philadelphia is a tough stadium to play in. Veterans Stadium was particularly. Actually, I had a section up there with Cliff Harris fans. I was like, whoa, why was this? But they had to be really tough to be up in there. The most favorite place for me to play was RFK Stadium because we had a big rivalry with the Redskins then. And we, you know, it was an old stadium. And George Allen, literally, one time, I mean, and I think if they would have allowed it, they would have said, hey, it's okay to kill the Cowboys. The fans would have come down and killed us. George Allen, one time after the game, they sprayed that field green. I loved to play there because it was such a traditional place. And they sprayed the field green because it's for television. And you'd come out of the game, hard-fought game, you have green all over you. Well, George Allen one time turned the hot water off in our dressing room. So we had to, you know, take a cold shower and kind of, so you had to fly back to Dallas green.
Let's do another one right here. Yes, sir. In case you couldn't hear him, he said, did y'all have a bounty on Bradshaw?
Bounty on Bradshaw. Hey, I can't say anything bad about Bradshaw. Bradshaw beat us in a couple of Super Bowls, and he was a great quarterback. I can tell you this. He was upset with me because in that play that you saw, remind me to take that thing out of, you know, getting thrown down again. In that play that you saw, Larry Cole and I on a safety blitz knocked Bradshaw down, and he fell back. Well, that was a long pass that actually Lynn Swann ended up catching for a long way because I was not in the middle. That was their game plan. Keep it simple with the Bradshaw, right? Cliff's in the middle, throw it deep, down the middle. So he's not there. But the announcer said, well, Cliff Harris knocked out Terry Bradshaw. Well, I didn't know whether I knocked him out or not. But it was really Larry Cole, because you can look back at that play again, you can see Larry Cole goes like this and hits him right at the chin. And I said, well, I knocked out Bradshaw. Well, I don't know. And made Terry mad.
You look like you're enjoying this.
Yeah.
That's right. That's good. Let's do one more back here.
Well, that's a good question. That's a tough question. But I the game has gotten so big and so fast, and the big guys have gotten so fast, they really need to protect definitely the quarterbacks. I think that it's fair game on the receivers myself. But, hey, they don't have to catch the ball. I mean, that's what I used to tell them, man. You know, hey, just don't come in my area. You know, I'm going to knock you out, you know. But now they go, oh, you knock you out, cost you $75,000. Gosh. More than I made.
I tell you what, let's do two more. This is too much fun. Right down here. How fast did you run the 40?
I was a 4.4 guy. Now they've got 4.1 guys and things that are real, really fast. But I was a fast guy for that era, you know, fast that time. I was running scared. You saw me on those kickoffs most of the time.
Jay?
Pardon me? Great classy, intelligent, brilliant man. I mean, as I was saying in that, I had some other, gosh, I got going too much on other things, but boy, Tom really had a great way of synthesizing a complex offensive game plan and coming down to three priorities that we needed to accomplish to win. I believe that. He was also a man of great faith and was very quiet about it. When he sometimes you'd ride on the bus with him, I'd talk to him about it, and he really had a lot of passion for his players that you would never believe. I saw him when he cut Golden Richards. He just cut him. He had tears in his eyes. He didn't want anybody to see it, but you know, he likes guys. The only thing that I can tell you is that he never knew my name. He'd call me Phil or Charlie, and I can tell you one time we were at the Holiday Inn before the game. We were just going over to Texas because we spent the night at the Holiday Inn, and Coach Landry came around the corner, and he was so deep in thought. He came around the corner, and he said, "Hey, now don't forget on this blitz that you," they made him mad all the time that I wouldn't do it because I'd lay off the halfback, and I'd try to get an interception. He said, "You've got to cover that halfback close so we can get a trap." I said, and I started to say, "Coach, what's my name?" He wouldn't have known anything. He said, "Hey, you know."
Let me ask you one last football question. Who's the greatest quarterback that you ever against?
Well, you know, from a statistical standpoint and numbers of Super Bowls that beat me, that was starting quarterback for him, it was Terry Bradshaw. But I faced other great quarterbacks, and Terry was a great quarterback. I think, I don't know, there's a long story. That goes into another speech. But, you know, I played one of the greatest quarterbacks that never got enough credit, I don't think. One was Jim Hart, and the other was Billy Kilmer, because Billy Kilmer was a guy that would just beat you. And that's what I like. I mean, that's me, you know. I mean, that's the kind of thing I like. I don't care what they look like, how good a passer are, how good they can fight. Just win the game. Win the game. And that's what Roger Staubach did. And I think Roger was the greatest quarterback that I was associated with.
Let's give him a hand. Cliff Harris, thank you so much.